Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for October 12th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy? You're freezing out there. It's pretty cold.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm home.
Okay, it's just me.
Well, this is the norm. Or the John. Or
hashtag high heat.
Are you calling me the John? Don't start with that.
I don't do that stuff.
I'd rather be a John than the John. Making you really uncomfortable here.
No, I'm just saying that I'm not certain these preferences are suitable for family entertainment.
I'm not either, but you brought it up, so I gotta slam the lid on that.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I think it's time to flush that.
All right, on this week's show, we've got Power Tracks, and we're gonna talk about the CLCS and PLCS and answer a couple of great listener questions. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases.
All right, so on Thursday, and then again on Friday, and then again on Saturday, I sat down with Patrick Newman, and we recorded our Power Track segment. Now,
where did you sit down? Did you meet at did a MacArthur Truman thing and meet at Wake Island in the middle of the Pacific?
We did, but it was in cyberspace.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, but that's where we agreed to meet. I'm surprised. Were you listening in or something? I mean,
no,
are you monitoring my computer? You have one of those like spyware things on my computer. Is that what you're doing there, Jim Allen?
No, that would require more initiative than I happen to possess.
Okay. All right. So we had some technical difficulties, but we were able to sit down and talk about what's going on. So. Before that, I want to touch on the season finale. The Hiroshima Carp on Wednesday played the Chunichi Dragons at home with a chance to go to the playoffs, and they failed to take advantage of their opportunity, crushing the hearts of Carp fans everywhere. And I told you guys, I said they're going to take their hearts into their hands and cradle them and then smush them and stomp on the ground, and that's exactly what they did. You'd think they would play a little bit better, a little bit looser, but they were just really tight. Couldn't score a run off of, 50-year-old Yamamoto Masahiro Yamamoto of the Dragons pitched, and he got the start for his final game, and he faced one batter. And then, as Jim joked before we started taping, two relievers combined on a one-hitter to shut out the Carp. It was sad. I guess it was torturous for the fans. But the Tigers were happy, and they were kind of deserving because they found a way to win, whereas the Carp usually managed to find a way to lose.
Yeah, the Carp played kind of tied, and I mean they started out the guys who they just got really good players who didn't play. I mean it's hard to find anybody on that team who really played up anywhere near what they're capable of this year.
Mm-hmm. They fell way under expectations, and they underperformed, They just didn't win as many games as they should have, and I think everybody feels that way.
Yeah, and they should have. I mean, there's many indicators that they should have. I mean, they scored way more runs than they allowed, and I'm going to tell you, they should have scored even more.
Yeah, and they had their opportunities.
They malfunctioned almost every way you could malfunction. They malfunctioned.
Yeah, it was very unfortunate, and it was a torturous, as I said, season for their fans. But again, it was a good opportunity for the Tigers, and they took advantage, and they're taking advantage by staying in the CLCS with a win on Sunday, but we'll get to that in a short while here.
Take on the Culks in a while.
Right. So Power Tracks was like, it was like Groundhog Tracks. It was, every day we're talking about the same thing, and we're trying to record all this stuff, but it actually changed. It morphed every day because every day the situations would be different. Like we learned that the Tigers were going to be without their closer, Osen Wan, for the day. So I think that was a big topic the first time we taped, but then not the second time. And then by the time we actually got it taped, each team had played a game. But Patrick's not going to wait. He didn't waver from his picks from the first taping. So let's go ahead and take a listen to Power Tracks. All right, joining us for the final installment of Power Tracks is Patrick Newman, the MPB tracker. Thank you very much for coming on this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so we tried this before and things didn't work out, so we're doing a retake. And prior to the start of the CLCS and PLCS on Saturday, you had already made your predictions, so I'm assuming that you're going to stick with them.
Yep, I haven't changed my mind.
Knowing the outcome of what happened today.
No, and we'll get to why I'm not changing, I guess, in due course.
Okay. All right. Well, what did you predict?
Okay, so starting with the Central League, we have Yomiuri hosting Hanshin. I have Yomiuri Giants as a pretty heavy favorite in this series.
A heavy favorite?
Well, heavy, pretty decisive favorite. I think all three games will be close, but I think they have several advantages.
But you're predicting three games.
Yeah, I think they'll all be close, but I think that there's, I think that Yomiuri just has outperformed them over the course of the year, and I don't see any reason why that'll change in the three-game series, especially with them at home. Okay. I think you told me the other day that there's something like 11-2 at home against Hanshin this year.
11-2 at home against the Tigers, that's correct.
And they've outscored them by 2-1 this year, I think 103 runs to 51 or something like that.
If you win a game 4-2 and you keep doing that, then the runs will pile up and it'll start to look like 2-1 is a real big deficit. But the Tigers had their issues, obviously, with the Giants. But you're saying heavy favorite, but you're telling me at the same time it's probably going to go three games.
Yeah, I think that I could see Hanshin stealing a game. My prediction prior to the series beginning was that they would win Fujinami's start, and that Yomiuri would win the other two, and that didn't happen. So we'll see if Messenger can steal one. I think that's their best chance. I guess another point about Hanshin against Yomiuri is that they've only scored four or more runs against Yomiuri five times in the 24 matchups. So they've really, their offense has really been lifeless against Yomiuri this year, and particularly in Tokyo Dome. So it's another point to throw in there. So we'll see what happens over the next two, but I think that, I think it's a very tall order, especially now that they've lost game one.
Yeah, and we know that the Tigers are not going to have closer Oh San-hwan, that he has a bad abductor muscle, and he's going to be out at least for this series. We're not sure about beyond this, should they be able to win two in a row and get past them. But today they lost the game basically because the bullpen wasn't able to outlast the Yomiuri bullpen, and they lost the game in the 10th inning. So, assuming the Giants get through and get to the Swallows in the final stage, who do you have in that series?
I think the easy pick is the Swallows. The home advantage and the one-game advantage that they give is a big thing to overcome. Their bats are obviously a lot better than the Giants' bats. You know, the season series has been pretty much dead even between Yomiuri and Yakult. But I just think all those things, and sort of hotness has a play to it as well. Yakult finished the season quite strong, and the only thing that I think could get in their way is the layoff, not being in competitive games for a couple of weeks, whereas I think the Giants will be very geared up competitively, with Hanshin. I see a lot of close games, and so they'll be really mentally ready. So if Yakult kind of lets their guard down, I could see them stealing the series, but I think Yakult has the advantage overall.
So you really think that the home field is a big deal? Because, I mean, they don't travel, obviously. All the Giants players can sleep in their own apartments. So I'm not sure that that's a home field advantage. Plus the fact that that's such a good hitter's park that a lot of the guys in the Giants lineup can take you deep, whereas I don't think a lot of the guys in the Swallows lineup, once you get toward the bottom, are all that dangerous.
Are they going to have Ballantyne back for the Climax series?
Yes, he's playing.
Well, so he's kind of an X factor. I think it's
offensively
not
and defensively.
Yes, unfortunately. It's not as big an advantage as, say, the Giants going into Koshien or Mazda Zoom Zoom Stadium in Hiroshima.
The Zoom!
The Zoom. Where, you have such loyal fan bases that are support their home team. So, yeah, I'll concede that point. I'd have to look at how Yakult has performed at home versus on the road this year and see, particularly offensively. I think Jim will probably refute some of what I'm saying with data that he may have at the tip of his tongue, but I don't have at the moment.
Okay.
So mostly on gut feel, I think Yakult is the hotter team. I think they're the more talented offense, at least. Yomiuri's pitchers are definitely a lot better, but they still have to win an extra game. So I'm going to go with Yakult.
Okay. All right. So Let's head over to the Pacific League now. We've got the Marines playing the Fighters at Sapporo Dome, and the first time we took this take, I took the Fighters, and I'm going to stick with them even though they lost Game 1. And not only did they lose Game 1, Shohei Ohtani left the mound with his tail between his legs, figuratively, getting beat up in the shortest outing of his career, 2.2 innings pitched and 5 runs allowed. And just seemed like he was really confused and bewildered and pretty much he had this face of utter bewilderment as he left the mound of how everything he threw was getting whacked right back out at his outfielders, mostly his outfielders in that inning, that third inning when he left. So who do you have in that series?
Yeah, so this one was a much tougher series to call for me. I felt pretty strongly that the Giants had a good advantage over Hanshin. In this series, on talent, Nippon Ham has definitely got to be the favorite, and they're at home too to boot. The trouble is that Lotte just hasn't gone away this year, and even in the face of injury problems to Kakunaka and their closer Nishino, they've not gone away. They had a strong September and they came back from behind to pass Seibu.
Yeah, they're like impossible or almost impossible to kill, and they won't die.
Yes, they
don't die. They just keep regenerating and coming back. You know, if the leg gets cut off, they just grow another one and play with that.
Yeah. They're some kind of mutant lizard, I guess, of baseball. But they just don't go away. I'm taking the underdog team here. I'm going to go with Lotte.
Yeah. You know, I did a translation the other day, and I noted the article. I'm not sure if I did put it in the article or not, but I saw it in the story that the Marines have never lost a first round playoff series since the playoff format started. And yet, even with that, I'm going to pick against them because that's what I do. I usually get these things wrong. So I'm going to stick with my guns, and I'm going to say, even though Ohtani got knocked around today, I think since they're at home and since they're going to play desperate and more focused, maybe because I think they kind of sat back. They've been sitting back for a while because they haven't really been pushed. They knew they were going to finish in second for a long time, and they've got to get geared up. Whereas you talked about competitive games for the Swallows in the Fighters, they were out there going through the motions a lot, but they really weren't playing playoff style baseball the way the Marines have been. And the Marines finished 8-2 to close out the season, so and they needed every game obviously to get in, so I think they have that battle.
Yeah.
They've been battle tested going up to the end, so I think the Fighters will recover and then get back on the road here.
Yeah, well, at least one Ohtani pitched well yesterday. Tomohisa Ohtani of Lotte.
Yeah, lesser known of the two.
Yes, the sub Ohtani. So one inning of work with 2 strikeouts. So he helped his team win. So I got that one. And then I think they're both playing for the right to lose against SoftBank.
Yeah.
I think that most people are going to see it that way. You know, but today's game kind of illustrates that this is that possibly the competitive mental aspects could play a bigger role because, as you said, Nippon Ham has been kind of in coasting mode for the last couple of weeks. Lotte has been fighting, and they came in ready to go, and they beat the snot out of them, 9-3.
Yeah, you say past couple of weeks. I think even before the SoftBank locked up their pennant, I think the Fighters knew they were going to finish in second somewhere around the All-Star break, and they really just had to, you know, lock down that spot. And then after that, they have been coasting, and it's obvious. You know, it was obvious today, very much.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
As soon as Seibu went on that losing streak, as soon as they finished the losing streak, it was going to be a tall order for Seibu to climb back up and compete for second. So yeah, they were really unchallenged for most of the year, most of the second half at least.
All right. So I guess we're in agreement that the SoftBank Hawks are also going to just walk to the Japan Series, the second consecutive Japan Series title as well.
Yeah. You know, on talent, they have every right to. You know, but talent is not always the final decider. It's who plays the best. But exactly. I think they'll play the best too.
Yeah, talent is one part of it.
So yeah, I think they'll play the best too. So I have SoftBank winning it all.
All right. Well, we've really enjoyed and appreciated more than anything else the fact that you've come on once a month to help us out with the power rankings, and we really enjoyed. At least I have, talking to you as much as I have the past 3 days. It's been really fun.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah, and it's been talking about the same thing each day, but it's always a pleasure.
All right, so we look forward to talking to you maybe sometime again this year, and then for certain every month next year.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's always a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to the next time.
All right, thanks a lot, Patrick. Take care.
All right, thank you.
Well, thanks, Patrick.
And he always says to say hello to Jim, and I often forget, but he did say to say hello to you.
Well, that's what was going on. I thought he was just being rude. I'm giving you that time. You do a great job, except I beg to differ. I mean, you know that I have data on the tip of my tongue, Patrick. I do not know what the date is. I do not know what time it is. I don't know. I have to call my editor to tell me what my name is some days.
But you can spell data, so then you got that data on the tip of your tongue.
That is true. And I know about data from Star Trek, so that's two for two.
That's not true. You know a lot of things right off the tip of your
I know a bunch of things, but they're sort of randomized and sort of I don't know, senile dementia, random access kind of mode.
All right.
So, but yeah, my fingers, that's why I have a computer. You know, people say, Jim, you use all these numbers all the time. I says, you got to remember, you know all that stuff. I says, no, I know that I have a computer, and somewhere on that computer, it's there.
Yeah, somewhere. Yep. And there's no search function.
Oh, there is. But, of course, half the files have the same names.
So what good does that do, right?
That's a long story.
So Patrick has the Marines pulling off the upset and the Giants taking out the Tigers and going on to play the Swallows. And the Marines going on to play or have the honor of losing to the Hawks, he says.
I think that's, I think based on the form charts, this year, to use some British English from having to work with too many Brits over the years. Plenty. Let's put it this way, plenty.
Doggone it!
There's always room for one more, I suppose. But
I suppose, jeez. I suppose. Can't check shoot them. All right, go ahead and get on the party bus. We can't shoot you. My boss said no.
The editor said it would be bad PR. I don't shoot people anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, based on basically the sense of what they actually accomplished against each other, I think the Marines against the Fighters is actually a fairly safe pick. The Marines did very well against the Fighters, and they did very well at Sapporo Dome.
This year, yeah.
Yes, this year. Okay, they were 5-2 during the regular season. Now they're 6-3 at Sapporo Dome when they had their 5-game winning streak snapped.
And that was today on Sunday.
It's the 5-game winning streak against the Fighters, that is.
Right.
So, and then to go back, I don't see anything about the Tigers. I have to agree with Patrick. There's really nothing in the body of work this year for the Tigers to think they're going to beat anybody.
But there's the argument could be made that the Tigers have been the Marines of the Central League, because you look at the numbers and they really, we True. Could say they shouldn't be there, and here they are.
Well, yes and no. But the thing is, the Tigers did, as Patrick pointed out, they did very poorly against the Giants. They did even more poorly at Tokyo Dome. Your point is, I think, an accurate one. In terms of quality, there's not a lot difference. I'm just going to have to say that they did very poorly at Tokyo Dome this year. they didn't play well against the Giants overall, whereas the Marines played well against they played pretty well against the Fighters and very well against them lately and very well at Sapporo Dome. So I think I have to agree with him. You know, I think heavy favorites in a to play three games, that's all right. I mean,
we didn't make picks last week, so right. I didn't make any picks, but I
didn't make any either. So I was very inspired by everybody who picked on Twitter. I was thinking the fight. I hadn't looked at the Marines' numbers. I assumed they were going to lose, but I was surprised at how well they played against the Fighters this year.
Yeah, I threw that out there on Twitter, and nobody asked me, "Hey, John, what are your picks?" Because as I told Patrick, I'm like Jimmy the Greek used to be. This guy used to pick your team. He used to just say, "Oh, forget about it." He always picks losers, and I have not picked much right. I almost had the top three teams in the Central League from our prediction show.
Oh yeah.
Had the Carp gotten in, I would have had them all there, just not in the same order, not in the order that I picked.
Well,
but
I didn't get in. I had two of the three to finish in the bottom two.
But you did have the Swallows.
I did have the Swallows finishing second, as
did I.
You did as well, yes.
Did I, yeah. So, yeah, I'm going with the Giants in the Central League, and I'm going with the Fighters simply because they're playing at home. But I did see a piece of, some stat before we started taping here tonight, mm-hmm. and that is nearly 90% of the teams that have won the first game in these playoff formats, so 2004 in the Pacific League and since 2007 in the Central League, nearly 90% of the teams that win the first game go on to win the series.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, and obviously the Fighters lost the first game and the Giants won the first game in the Central League, and those are the teams that I'm picking. So we'll see how that works out when the teams play later. The show's going to be posted on Monday, so I'm going to say later today. Hopefully people will be able to listen to the show before the games start, two day games that start at 2:00 Japan time. So it should be interesting, but I'm going to go against the grain on one of those picks, apparently, against
the
data.
Okay. Well, Matt Merton had an interesting observation, which I thought was accurate, too. The Giants' first game win was very, very fine. You know, it was a close run thing. I didn't think the Giants, they had plenty of opportunities. They didn't take advantage of them, blah, 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 blah. Their offense is misfiring. It was a very tight game. The Tigers had also opportunities, but it was very close. And Matt Merton pointed out the obvious that without Osung Hwan, basically the Tigers have to beat the Giants starters.
Yeah, let's get into it then. The CLCS started on Saturday, as did the PLCS. And at Tokyo Dome, it was the Tigers and the Giants, and the Giants won 3-2 in 10 innings. And they did it in a most unusual fashion. They didn't put a ball in play except for an out, a ground out. And they got four walks and ended up winning the game on a walk-off walk. In part, I think, because of what Matt is pointing out, that they didn't have their closer. And like we said, Osung Hwan is out with an abductor muscle issue, whether it's a strain or a pull, I'm not sure. But at first they said he wasn't going to pitch at all in the postseason, I heard. And then they changed that he's not going to pitch in the climax series. But they didn't specify first stage or second stage. Did you hear anything?
Well, when they deactivated him, the idea was that he was going to be able to pitch in the postseason, and that didn't work out. I don't know what the update on that is either.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything different, so we'll have to see. But anyway, the Giants get away with the not swinging the bats and getting all these walks. And they had some good at-bats. I'm not saying that they didn't swing the bats and get through, but still, you don't get a hit. And part of that was because I think think about the way the Tigers got to where they are. It's because they had a reliever who could probably give them two innings in a playoff game situation like this.
Right.
And they had to go to other guys. And the other guys just didn't, they didn't pitch poorly because, again, they didn't give a hit in this inning, but they didn't get the guys out. So,
well, that was the thing. Takamiya, the lefty, basically he comes in and he faces one lefty. Well, they left him in to face four guys. And the answer, Wada's answer, which I think sums up why That's harsh. I mean, that's not the reason he's getting fired. The reason he's getting fired is because the team didn't play very as well as they expected it to play. In my opinion, they played better than they should have been expected to play. The reason Wada's answer was, well, that's all we could do.
Well, who else did they have? I mean, what are they going to do? They had to, I think, in my opinion, they had to consider they had to win. And going to 12 innings, who are they going to throw? So they had to try to get through that inning. And
right.
I don't think the problem was who they were throwing so much as what who they had out there was throwing.
Yeah, I thought Ando was okay. He had one bad plate appearance, which was the leadoff walk in the 10th, and then he's gone, and they're going to a pitcher who's not as good.
Yeah.
I thought that was a mistake.
I thought so.
Especially when they basically had him out there to work two innings. You know, we need you to work two innings, and, oh, you walked somebody. Okay, back to the drawing board. Who do we got? Nobody. Okay, send nobody out there.
Okay, well, send the pitching coach and let him talk to him. And, they try. I think Wada also made the comment that he said is, look, we threw everything we had at them. Mm-hmm. And this was the result. So, I mean, they made the effort.
Right. They made an effort. I mean, I don't disagree with them making an effort. I'm just thinking that, well, and in any case, it was not a successful effort. And it could well have been the best option they had. One never knows.
Right. Now, my issue with Wada was in the seventh inning, though, because basically a tie for them in any of these games, because they are the lower seed, they're the third place team, and the Giants were the second place team. So a tie is just as good as a loss for them.
Right.
And so when they led off the seventh inning and had two hits,
right,
I wasn't sure why they were trailing in the game 2-0. I wasn't sure why they were bunting.
And why did they take out one of their good hitters?
And
for a pinch runner, for basically a pinch runner to bunt, I mean, what's this bit about that?
I was questioning, you know, and again, I wouldn't have. I mean, you get two runners on. I know you didn't have the guys you want at the plate who you think have power, but Egoshi had, you know, he had struck out twice. I think that was the thing that they look at a couple of at bats, and they panic, and they're like, well, he's not getting good swings, or he's not looking good at the plate. Well, you know, I've seen guys strike out four times and then hit a home run or get a clutch hit late in the game. So that doesn't tell you everything. But they just hit the button on him.
Yeah, a panic button is what it was.
Yeah, yeah. And so I didn't agree with either one of those moves. And so they end up tying the score, but they needed to get the lead.
Right.
And they didn't. And I think that's another reason. Obviously, we never know what would happen. Egoshi could have hit it into a double play, and that would have been it. But,
right.
You know, I think you got to take the swings. You're losing. You got to win these games. So that's the chance you have to take.
You know, they didn't come, and again, here's the thing, that as bad as that was, and it was bad because it took an out, you know, it gave it an extra out, then they get a play there. Tsuyoshi Nishioka comes up, he's essentially only useful as a pinch hitter right now,
mm-hmm.
but he's a good one. And he lined it to center field in a really good play by Tataoka to get the ball to rob him of an RBI double.
Okay.
It could have been much worse, except the Tigers were giving away outs.
Yeah.
I mean, they spent the whole game giving away outs. And then they said, like, oh, we ran out. How did that happen?
# high heat.
They're like Santa Claus at the end of Christmas and going, well, I'm out of presents. Where'd they go?
Are you sure we only get three of these things?
Yeah, it was 27. Wait, hold on. Count them again. Can we go back an inning?
Well,
we misplaced one.
Well, I mean,
think about the Tigers. They've been doing that all year.
Yeah, I think it was kind of scramble mode because they did, I think, again, without O back there at the back of the bullpen, I think they were trying to play to do different things. And today, the interview, you know, obviously the Tigers won on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Wada had his interview and he said, "Hey, he caught himself." You know, he says, "I hope we can. Our style of winning is to get the lead, get out in front and stay in front." and we want to do that tomorrow. And then he caught himself and he said, oh, well, of course, if we can't do that, we still want to find a way to come back and win, you know? You know, these teams get stuck in this mode of, you know, this is how we win. This is our deal, our formula.
Our winning formula, I guess.
Okay.
That's a good point because, you know, it requires all kind. You know, you've got all these different kind of skills, but you're trying to hammer them into a way that might not be very applicable to the situation you're in, and this hadn't occurred to me about the Tigers, but several people have been telling me that this weekend, and I'm thinking, yeah, that the Tigers basically are a three-dimensional team trying to play a two-dimensional game.
Interesting. I like that. So the Giants won that game. Hirokazu Sawamura was great for the two innings. He's the closer for the Giants, and he struck out three, and he ended up giving up one hit, but he never looked like he was in trouble. Tetsuya Yamaguchi was good for them, too, and I thought that... Good for him. I mean, he hasn't good really been...
Let's put it this way. It was one of his good outings for him. I'll go with that, because he was... He wasn't lucky, but he wasn't bad as he's been often this year.
Yep. Okay, and then game two on Sunday, that was today, and the Tigers won that 4-2, and they got out early in the first inning. The import trio, actually, it was Mauro Gomez, Matt Merton, and Randy Messenger, and they all came through with big performances. And then, you know, Yamato Maeda had a game-ending diving stop and get up and throw from second base on a ground ball, and that's beautiful. The kind of play you want to see to end a postseason game, not the umpires calling a guy running inside the runner's box down the first baseline like the Japan Series ended last year.
Well, it's Ishioka, so you kind of expect weird things to happen.
Whoever it is, I know you don't miss a chance to take a swing at that guy. Whenever he's on the mound, man, you are swinging for the fences.
Hashtag high heat.
Well, he doesn't pitch, fortunately. he'd blow him past me for sure. But the other one was Hiroki Uemoto made a great play, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well...
And he was the guy who came out of the game. And then Yamato Maeda, who won a gold glove as a center fielder last year. And now, if he played often enough, he wouldn't push Kikuchi out of the gold glove vote, but he'd get a couple of votes from the Tigers writers.
I'm sure he would. And he started out as a second baseman or infielder, and then they threw him out in the outfield when they needed somebody last year. And he was a great postseason performer from the outfield
for
the Tigers last year. And that play reminded me that he was. I remember the plays he was making in the Japan Series. So,
yeah, outstanding stuff.
And so, I love what Randy Messenger said about giving up nine hits, because he gave up nine, and I think he walked two guys. But he said in the on-field post-game interview, he says most of them were cheap singles.
Yep, he said that to me too. A bunch of cheap hits. Didn't Tateoka like hit one off the wall like on the second pitch of the game that I think put a dent?
No, it wasn't off the wall. That's the thing about Egoshi.
I can't see. Okay. Well, I can't.
It wasn't up though. It bounced. Egoshi is. Remember, he didn't get in the lineup regularly because of his defense, and they've got him in center field. It's just a joke. And there were two balls that were almost pop flies. It should have been a double.
You have
and
to
an
understand.
Error.
I was struggling with my my electronics at that stage of the game.
Technical difficulties everywhere.
And I don't have a TV.
Right. He bubbled the ball. So once he got to it near the fence, he bobbled it, and that's the only reason Tateoga was able to go to third, and they didn't call it an error. Maybe they're having trouble seeing the ball as well back there, the score, the so-called official scores. But anyway, I thought he could have been in the vicinity of that ball because it was so high. And again, in the ninth inning, a double by Yoshinobu Takahashi.
That was a fly ball double
that he didn't get to. Yeah, I mean, it split them right in the gap, but I think it was a floater. I think a better center fielder is over there.
I did see that, and I don't know. At Tokyo Dome, maybe, because you can't play so deep.
But yeah, going back to Randy Messenger, he also gave up that that pop fly home run to Leslie Anderson, and you saw him on the mound. I don't know.
Smiling.
He was laughing. He's like, you got to be kidding me. That went out, and you could see it was – I joked. I think I tweeted right at that moment that the umps must have thrown out one of those leftover 2010 balls for that sequence, and Leslie got a piece of it, and it went over the fence for a pop fly home run at Tokyo Dome like they used to go out. That thing was awful. It was awful.
Well, he got – I was thinking when Abe flied out to end that inning, you know, with a man on, I was thinking – and everybody, all the Giants fans were thinking that was going to go out. I says, you got to hit those in the opposite field, man.
Yeah.
To carry better.
So the same two pitchers or relievers who had trouble in game one, Kazuya Takamiya and Yuya Ando, they came out and they got the job done this time for Randy.
Well,
but
he only faced one guy.
But, yeah, there were some hard hit balls. This was in the eighth inning, and Kamei hit one pretty hard, and Ibata hit one hard, and Sakamoto doubled. But they got Murata on another good play. This was a play by Toritani. He went in the hole and threw out Murata, who's not really a fast runner.
And he looks big. It looks like the lack of playing time is cut into his exercise routine.
He's not burning those game time calories, huh?
Something. Something. I think maybe he's had trouble running or something, or keeping off the weight because he looks big.
He was slow. So there's a game three on Monday, and you said you were going to go with?
I'm going to go with the Giants, but it's pretty much a pick 'em. But I'll go with the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, these games and this league, all these games being close. At least we had a blowout game in the first game of the PLCS, but. These games have been close.
Good games, nail biters.
Even when the Tigers took a 3-0 lead in game two here today, they didn't ever really pull away. They scored one more run, and they had to hold off the Giants. And I suspect whoever gets out in lead tomorrow will have the same problem or same issue of trying to add on more runs and seeing what a struggle that is. But I'm going to go with the Giants as well, and I'm going to say that they're going to play the Swallows in the final stage, and I'm going to go with the Swallows, but geez, they've got the one game advantage and they're playing at home, and I think they're going to need the one game advantage. And what I'd love to see, because I did get my wish, basically the regular season was decided by the very last pitch in the Central League when the Dragons got the Carp out, that sewed up who's going to play in what position. It was either going to be the Carp or the Tigers, and that's what I wanted. And I think the last pitch of game seven, it's game six on the field, I imagine, game seven is going to decide the final stage, and I'm going to say the Swallows somehow. I would say Tony Barnett throws two innings in relief and they squeak by the Giants.
That's not inaccurate. I posted this just before the start of the postseason about the team's records in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And that Hara's basically a below .500. Here's a guy who wins the championship every year, and his winning percentage in the postseason is like .470. I don't think he's a very good, I think he's channeling Sadahara Oh. He's not a very good short championship series manager.
Yeah.
And so that's going to work against him. Now, the Swallows, and this is the stuff Patrick said, I had it at the tip of my tongue, but as you pointed, I do have it at the tip of my fingertips. Hold on, let me get it at my fingertips.
I do have it here. Let me.
Oh, wait, I did actually write it down.
Let me go groping for it through my computer here.
I did write it down. Now, the Giants won the season series with the Swallows 13-12, but the Swallows were 8-3 at Jingu. Okay. Now, that was a pretty good record for the way the Giants OPS in those games was 700. The Swallows was 720. The Swallows scored a fair amount of runs, but it wasn't a huge difference. Now, here's the kicker. Okay, they played 11 games. The Swallows started Yasuhiro Ogawa four times and Ishikawa three times, who are two of the better pitchers in the Central League.
Mm-hmm.
Those two were 4-1 in their starts, and the other four guys in the other four starts were 0-1 with a 5.51 ERA. So what about the six-game series is that Ogawa and Ishikawa can't start more than half of them.
Right.
They're probably going to start three. Okay, so that's the big thing. The Giants, on the other hand, sent like a smorgasbord. Well, I take that back. They sent a smorgasbord plus the whipping boy, who is Tomoyuki Sugano, who pitches everywhere well except Jingu Stadium.
Mm.
They started him three times there.
Thanks, Coach.
Well, I think that's just bad luck, or it might be bad whatever it is, juju or whatever you want to call it. But it didn't work out for him. It's his personal house of horrors, and he started three times, and Michael has started once, and Pareda started twice, and Koyama started twice. So you can get the picture.
Right.
That's why the Swallows were 8-3 at Jingu against the Giants. They weren't that good. The Swallows do play well at home. Yamada, as we know, is pretty much, you know, the difference between him at home and on the road is he's essentially Vladimir Ballantyne at home, and he's Lasting's Millage on the road.
Okay. Well, I think it's going to be a tight series, and obviously, yeah, you talked about the fact that the Giants can throw all these pitches out there, but yeah, they're going to have to. I think the Swallows are very happy that their first stage series is going to three games, and that means they're going to have to use another pitcher, and then they're going to see whoever comes out on Wednesday, and they'll get the top end of the rotation, but they only have to see him once. So.
Yep. So probably, if the Giants go, it'll be Michaelis will not pitch on Wednesday unless Stomu Ito is managing the Giants.
No, I don't think we're going to see him on Wednesday. Yeah. All right, Giants. All right, we both have them. Now let's go over to the PLCS in Game 1. Shohei Ohtani, my man, was knocked around for the shortest outing of his pro career in a 9-3 loss to the Marines.
And I know. I think he needed, like, reconstructive surgery.
Yeah, the look on his face. I mean, he was just flabbergasted. He was shell-shocked. I never seen him look like that. And they had to go out and get him out at two innings, or two outs into the second inning, and they had to rescue him. And, Kuriyama walked out with his arms folded, which is that, I think that's universal in the Kuriyama household or in the fighters at Sapporo Dome for, oh my God, I got to get this guy out of here. He walks out to the umpires with his arms folded, and he just kind of leans forward and says, you pick somebody from my bullpen because this guy's not getting it done.
I know, he sat there the rest of the game with his arm folded like, just don't talk to me. Just let's get over this.
And the team played like that in the second game. But let's talk about that first game first. Last year it was the Fighters who were like the upstart team. A lot of people didn't expect them to do well. They were coming off a fifth place finish or even last place finish going into the next. Last place finish. And they came out of nowhere. They knocked off the Oryx Buffaloes, who had finished second. And they looked like they were going to give the SoftBank Hawks a nice run in that second stage, or the final stage, they like to call it here. And now it looks like that's the Marines, you know, who have all the energy and all the life. And the Fighters were on their heels. I think Patrick nailed it with the competitive situation being put on hold for a while, and the Fighters having not played competitively. But anyway, it seemed like the Fighters had trouble in all phases in Game 1. They couldn't consistently get Ohtani really couldn't get any strikes with his other stuff, and he had to rely on his fastball, and he really wasn't command. He didn't have good command of it or good control of it that day, or he wasn't locating it. But, you know, Lotte was waiting for the fastball. I remember seeing my buddy Kazuya Fukuda just load up, and he knew a fastball was coming, and he just connected with it and doubled off of him. Luis Cruz made some fantastic plays in the field. This is the other thing. When you see a guy get cramped up like that, that's the kind of effort you need to play with in the playoffs, and that's what the Fighters weren't doing necessarily. Mm-hmm. Cruz was so tired and so. Obviously, he's coming off an injury too, because he was sidelined with a bad wheel. But that's the level of effort it takes to win in the playoffs, and I didn't see that from the Fighters in that first game.
Well, I have a couple of points. I thought Patrick's comment about them being lizards, I thought that was accurate. It occurred to me yesterday that the Marines are in fact not human. but in fact a form of insect that for 4.5 years they slumber, and then every fifth October they come to life as a fully mature baseball team that, you know, eats to other teams alive. Yeah. And eats their young.
Just like I said, it's almost impossible to kill them, and they won't die.
Right. Well, I mean, that wasn't the case in 2005, but they did finish second and go on win the Japan Series, and they won it in handy fashion. They swept the Tigers. Then in 2010, they won the first, I'm going to say, the first 6 or 7 games. They had to win the last 3 games of the regular season to finish third. And then they won the first 6 or 7 games of the postseason before SoftBank got a word in edgewise before they went down. And so they're something. It's like they're a horror show.
Yeah.
And so that's the Marines. And the other thing, on keeping on the horror movie motif, is Kazuya Fukuura. Has anybody like found his 40-year-old body anywhere? Because I think he's using somebody else's younger one.
Yeah, he looks like he's spry and has a lot of energy. And
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, baby. There's some alien stuff going on here.
I think it's simply this: is they say, hey, look, if we try to play you in 100 games, you're not going to make it through the season, but if we save you and play you in about 40 or 50, by the time the October comes around, you'll have all kinds of energy.
Mm.
And they just save him up. It takes them a long time to recharge, and he spent most of the regular season recharging, and he's ready to go.
Okay, he's plugged in and ready to go. Cool.
All right, and then in game two on Sunday, the Fighters won 4-2. Now, they scored 3 runs in the 8th to completely change the complexion of the game, the series, and their entire season, I think. Kenji Yano comes off the bench, and he makes a fine running catch, and I think he saved a run with that catch, and then he comes up with the game-winning hit in the 8th inning, and Brandon Laird, who has had a really good second half, I shouldn't say really good, but he's had a very productive second half, and he hit with a little bit more power, made more consistent contact, and he's carried that over, and he looked pretty good. He doubled off the wall in center in the 8th inning to get the score tied, and then Yano drives in the go-ahead runs, and then they had the little heart attack from Hirotoshi Masui, their closer, in the 9th inning, where he puts 2 guys on and pitches out of trouble to get the save, and they came away with a 4-2 win. You know, I'm happy that they were able to get that win, but it just looks like they were dead for most of this game. And I even tweeted it a couple times. I said, man, they just have no life. And a lot of the guys, they said, yeah, but the Marines guy said, yeah, well, one run can change that. And they did get the run to tie, but as soon as they got the run to tie, they gave up the run to fall back behind. So it was just kind of weird the way they looked dead, but they woke up. Hopefully for them and for my prediction, because I'm predicting that they'll move through, that they will pull it off on Monday, but I'm only doing that for selfish reasons because I picked them.
Well, on Monday we have Hideaki Wakui, who threw the 10-inning game.
The 137-pitch Wakui?
On Tuesday. So he'll be on 5 days rest, which is not too short.
That's not bad for the major leagues, but I mean, my goodness, I was watching that game and I was tweeting, and again, one of the followers who's a Marines fan says, this is madness. You know, why is he chasing for 10 innings? Why is he chasing one win? What really? And I was thinking,
because it allowed him to lead the league in wins.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the point? Is there some stipulation in his contract? Is this going to earn him money? Because
this is Japan, because the individual accomplishments reflect on the team. We all pull together for each other's individual accomplishments, regardless of how silly or meaningless they are.
That's like a complete disregard for human life. I mean, they're gonna die if
they're insects.
They could have. That's right.
The Marines are not human.
In theory, they were gonna throw him today on Sunday had they lost the first game, so right. It was gonna be 4 days rest. And coming off of this, I don't know. I don't know what
yesterday. Yesterday, when I was watching the the broadcast a little bit when I could catch a glimpse. The announcers were going, tomorrow's pitcher's not going to be Wakui? Like, duh! Of course, maybe it's because they know Tsutomu Ito is not always with us. But I say that he's a really, really smart guy who does really, really weird stuff. You know, so I, you know, sometimes what he does looks really dumb, and sometimes it is, but not always.
Well, I think that was dumb, but I think it was mostly Walkley who wanted to do it, so I think there was no stopping him, to be honest. But
he could go in out there and take the ball out of his hand.
I would. all right. So game three, I think it's going to be Mitsuo Yoshikawa for the Fighters and Wakui for the Marines. Who do you have?
And that, I got to like Wakui, although, I mean, I haven't trusted him in years past. He's been as good this year as he has been bad, which is something we haven't been able to say except when he's been in the bullpen in the last 4 years. So, and Yoshikawa is even more hit and miss. I mean, even more miss than hit.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're playing Yahtzee, you always have to throw the five dice, and I just, you know, Yahtzee, there's a blast from the past. Huh?
I remember
making a face like, whoa, I'm back in the 70s. So, hi, I'm John Denver. Far out. But anyway,
can we stop?
So you just don't know what you're going to get, I think, from either one of these guys, except I tend to think that Walkley is going to pitch well. I think
too.
He has, you know, the 15 wins he did. It was against the Eagles, so he was facing a last place team, but he still pitched well enough to get the win in that one through 10 innings. So I think he's going to pitch well, but I don't know that that's going to be enough.
The other thing you also have in there is Sho Nakata, and he's another guy you never know what you're going to get. I mean, some days he just comes up there, and he sees everything you throw, and he hits it over the fence.
He hit a ball today that I was sure was a home run, and it died. I think he got top spin on it, and it died out there near the not even on the warning track, not even to the warning track.
There are other days when you look at him and you're not certain he knows how to play baseball.
Yep, yeah. So it should be fun. I'm gonna you know, I picked the Fighters. I'm sticking with them, but
it should be fun. Yes.
As I keep saying, my luck hasn't been so good this year, so. And then the finals, the final stage, I'm going to have the Fighters losing to the Hawks. And I'm thinking the Hawks, again, with this competitive or this break from competitive baseball, is going to slow them down probably in the first one or two games. But then once they get going, I think they start rolling. And I don't see a shutout from their pitchers, but I see them breaking out offensively maybe midway through the series and winning in about five games.
Yeah, I think the only question for the Hawks is whether they're going to bring the first team out or the farm team to beat them.
Yeah, well, as Dennis Sarfate pointed out, they really don't have to scout anybody. They know all the players on the teams that they're going to play here in the Pacific League. The real work will be coming in the Japan series, but they got to get there first, and I think it's going to take them a while to get going, but they'll roll. Even with that one-win advantage starting with, you can afford to lose two games and then win one, and then you're even. So
yep.
I think they'll be fine in five games. All right. One note, Masataka Nashida was introduced this past week, as Rakuten's new man in charge on the bench. So he is the fourth manager in history. I'm losing count now.
Okay, hold on. We have Yasushi Tao. We have Akatsuya Nomura.
Okay.
We have Marty Brown 1 year. We have Senichi Oshino.
And Dave.
We have Dave Okubo. He's the sixth manager.
He'll be the sixth manager.
The 11th. This will be their 12th season and their sixth manager.
All right. So good luck to him. We also have the amateur draft coming up on October 22nd. Mm-hmm. And I'll be watching that with great interest, but I don't see any, I haven't heard of any great player out there this year, but we'll watch and see. Some guys get. I saw some kid who has a hit record.
Should be talking
to Deanna Rubin because she would know. She would know exactly who it is. I try to watch the news, but I keep my focus on the pro guys.
Okay.
So, but we'll see. We'll see how that should be a real exciting day, and we'll see how that goes. All right, let's go to fielding questions.
All right.
All right, the first one is from our buddy Glenn in Tokyo. He says, I saw a report that said Hanshin manager Yu Takawada would not return in 2016. So you can tell we've held on to this email for a little bit. And that Tomoaki Kanemoto, who has actually, since this report came out, he's actually come gone twice to negotiate a deal to become the manager with the Tigers. So, and he's a candidate to replace Wada. Now, I understand letting Wada go as he has been disappointing, but Kanemoto, are managers here just chosen on a PR basis? Don't they even want to win? I guess the job advert for the position will clarify by noting no experience necessary. And this is from Glenn. So
I think that's very accurate. No experience necessary. How many managers this year had no experience before they became managers?
That's right.
Okay. Can we count?
And one of them.
We have Nakahata.
Right.
Wada never managed.
Right.
Kudo never managed. Kurihara never managed.
Tanishige went as a player manager, so he didn't
That's
have any
correct.
Experience.
Hara never managed.
Manaka did manage.
Manaka did manage in the farm team. Fukura managed the Fighters farm team a long time ago. So it's not a big... Tanabe never managed. That's nine.
Nine out of 12.
The previous manager... Oh, and Ogata never managed. So that's 10. The only two guys who are managing this year... Oh, Okubo. Oh, I guess he's gone. I get the count wrong? But Okubo was a farm team manager... Monaco was a farm team manager, and Fukuro had been a farm team manager. So that's 3 out of 9 out of 12.
Yeah, no experience necessary. It's insane. I mean, we've seen with I'm going to call Kiyoshi Nakahata a trophy manager because he's the guy that they spore. He's like the trophy wife. They're like, look at our really fun, jovial manager, and come out and spend time with him, and he'll talk to you, give you the peace sign, take pictures with you, and sing.
I have a question for you. Have you had the reporters tell you what a good manager Nakahata was?
No.
Oh, I've had a number of guys keep giving me trying to sell him to me when I say, do you think he can manage? Oh, yeah, he's bringing new life to the Bay Stars. Okay.
That new life. It's really ended up a lot like the old life.
Hashtag exactly. High heat. Yeah,
are they a more interesting team than they used to be? Absolutely. And I think he deserves some credit for that. They're more entertaining. They're more energetic. Are they a better team? Nah, I don't know.
I don't even know that he's getting the players excited. I just know that he brings fans to the stadium. He's good for the fans. He's you know, very fan friendly. He's approachable. He's a walking party.
He is pretty much.
But they've hit a wall under him. I'm glad he's leaving. I want to see them get an actual leader. And that's what I talked about with Norio Tanabe of the Lions. I just think the leadership. They just need the leadership. So when I hear about the Tigers talking about Tomoaki Kanemoto as the manager, I think, again, he might not be the guy on the bench making all the calls and deciding what to do, but he certainly would bring some leadership. So I don't think it's a bad...
No, I agree with that.
I don't think it's a bad situation in terms of leadership. I just don't know what he'll do on the bench.
Well, he's a force, for sure.
For sure.
And I think that's a good thing. And I think with the Tigers, you actually need, as I've said before, I think you need somebody like that who's not going to take anything from anybody.
Not even the press. So if people say, and I think that kind of personality and that kind of leadership is probably what they need. So I don't think it's a bad choice. I expect that they'll work it out. Yeah, they'll work it out. They'll figure it out. Because like I said, the last report I saw that he had gone in for another negotiation and there was no progress in the talks, but they'll figure it out. All right, the next question is from Bex. We're getting to it, Bex, man. I'm sorry we had to put this one off for a while as well. He says, And he mentioned Kensuke Kondo of the Nippon Ham Fighters and said that this guy is a really good player that nobody talks about. And so he also asks, who are MPB's best kept secrets? Hashtag high heat. You know, I'm going to stick with the guys who have some experience but are limited. So I like the former, I'm not going to bring up guys like former Rocket Boy or Slingshot Dude, as we like to call him, Ryoto Igarashi. Although I think he's been He's been invaluable because he's definitely been out of the spotlight, and he's definitely been a big part of the SoftBank Hawks bullpen. But I'm going to stick with guys who have been around a little bit, but we just haven't heard about them or we don't make a big deal about them. One of them is Ryo Akiyoshi of Yakult, and I think when I talked to Tony Barnett earlier this year, he pointed this kid out as one of the guys who he really likes his stuff, and I've talked to other hitters. I think Matt Merton, I made mention the fact that Matt Merton really likes him.
I think it's the Matt Merton really doesn't like to face him.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah,
the dislike is a respect.
I think his pitches are really hard to pick up. That his pitches, he's a side armor, and they're fairly hard to pick up, like for right-handed hitters.
Yep, and then another guy is Soichiro Tateoka, and you know he's better than I thought. A lot of times, you know, like Tetsuya Matsumoto, the guys that they would throw out there, the other kid, Hashimoto.
Hashimoto is a good player. He just needs to be healthy.
Yeah, Hashimoto, guys like that.
Itaro Hashimoto.
Yeah, they've been really good, but this guy is different. Those guys, you always thought you could overpower him with fastballs, and you never could. And then you threw him off speed stuff, and they hung with it. And Tateoka's just as good, if not better, with that. But he's also a good outfielder too. I really like him. I'm impressed with what I've seen so far. Other than his base running,
his base running is almost legendary.
But
they're gonna start calling the Toot Blonde Tateokas.
Yeah. So and I'm not convinced his defense is all that great, but he's been very productive for the Giants, and I think that's another guy. And then you could put together a huge list, I think, of guys from the SoftBank Hawks and sure, probably be really, really accurate. But I'm going to take one guy I've really liked for a few years who's been hurt and who's coming back, and that's Kodai Senga, the right-hander who came out. Actually, he got a start late in the season.
Well, they turned him into a starter this year, basically.
Yeah, but he hadn't been starting on the first team. But he had been up before early on in his career, and then he got injured and he wasn't around last year. I really like this guy. We might see him in the rotation next year, I believe. And another guy is Takayuki Kajitani of the DeNA Bay Stars. And the reason I'm bringing him up...
That's hard to consider him.
I know, but you look at his numbers, and he's only been out there for maybe 5 years, and two of them he didn't really play much. So he came around 2013, and then he was injured this year, but he played through it.
He didn't have his typically brilliant season.
Well, I don't know. You could say typically. I mean,
he's a hell of a player.
He's a really good player. But you want to talk about best kept secrets? He doesn't get enough pub. He doesn't get enough of anything. But he's a really good player. But 2006 is when he was drafted. But you know, he played 22 games in 2009 and 5 in 2010, 80 in 2012. So
that's the Bay Stars.
That's not his fault. It's the Bay Stars' fault,
largely.
Okay,
they have all these players they don't know what to do with.
Right, and then he had a breakout year somewhat in 2013, but that was only basically half the season. And then he got hurt, but he played anyway. And he's number and again he was hurt this year, and they forced him out there, or he forced himself onto the field, whatever happened. But if he gets healthy, I think he's a annual 300 hitter, and he's going to steal bases for you, hit with power, and could be really, really good player. A really good player.
I had a bunch of guys on Oryx who were like this, but the problem with guys on Oryx is that because Oryx is in such a state of flux, and people's playing time seems to come and go, and seems like this year, so Taguchi told me that Oryx's biggest problem was the guys who have proven they can play almost proved that they didn't want to play. This year, they just like seem to take the season for granted. So guys like Shunta Gondo, who I really like. A couple other guys I really like is Yuhei Nakamura, the Swallows catcher. I can't believe how young he is. And he looks, because he has an old face, he has an older face, and he's a very serious, I think it's his bone structure, but he always strikes me as looking older than he is, and he's not. But he's quite a player. He's proven to be a fairly steady and a good fielder. So I like him. He was picked to the national team basically for a variety of reasons. I think Kokubo and his coaches were very impressed with the work he did with the Swallows pitching. I think Katsunori Nomura, the battery coach, deserves a lot of credit for that. But no, I think he's a terrific player. Kajitani, I think, is a great player. I think Kosuke Tanaka with the Carp, the shortstop, is quite a good player.
Oh, no, come on. I was hailing him earlier in the year, and you're telling me he doesn't go well to his right and all this, and his range isn't all that good and all this
it's
stuff.
It's not that.
You're
not,
basically okay. Telling me I had overrated it's the guy. You think I forgot what you said? I told you I remember what you say.
Hashtag high heat.
He's a good player. I mean, he's a heck of a hitter. I mean, he's... I like him better than I like Daichi Suzuki of the Marines, who I actually do like, and his fielding is a lot better.
Yeah. I actually also like Hiromi Oka of the Fighters.
Do you? Yeah. That's interesting. I like him, but he didn't get enough. He didn't have the breakthrough season I expected of him.
No, but yeah, it takes time.
It does sometimes. And he could be a really good player.
Well, yeah, I think the rookie, the teenager, Asama, I think is going to steal his playing time, so we're not going to really
this happens with the Carp, with the Fighters, excuse me. That it's very, well, I don't want to keep repeating myself every year, but they have kind of a roulette with their minor league teams. You know, they get these guys who are really good players, and then based on a short track, you know, on how well they adjust to playing with the Fighters in a very limited amount of playing time, then that's who gets the job. And the guy who doesn't get that just keeps rotating back and forth, and he sort of gets in limbo.
Right. So, yeah, I did want to stick with guys who are basically regulars who are not getting the publicity as opposed to up-and-coming guys or fringe guys who keep going up and down. So those were the guys for me, basically.
Fair enough. I have the problem with picking Tigers guys for the same reason. Anybody on the Dragons you like?
I like the shortstop Ise Endo, but he got injured. But I mean, not in terms of this question, no.
And of course, I told John before the show if I could probably just remember all their names, I could list half the guys in the Hawks farm team who could play regularly in the Central League.
Yep. Yeah, you can't go wrong picking Hawks guys. I think there's a lot of up-and-coming Marines players we're going to see in the next few years. But
yeah, I like Takuya Takahama if he ever gets a regular playing job.
Yeah, so there's lots of guys out there, Bex. So, it's definitely Kondo has had a really good season, and he had a good season last year. I think he is one of the best-kept secrets in MPV. And it's no secret that next week is our 200th episode. I'm looking forward. I'm putting together a special little segment for that. So this is your last chance to send in your favorite moments via Twitter or email. Or just hashtag us a high heat question at JBW Podcast, hashtag high heat. Or send us an email to ykyujohn@gmail.com or hit us up on the Facebook page and we'll use that on the show. Thanks a lot for everybody who sent in questions, and sorry for keeping them stacked up, but we did want to get to them, so thank you very much.
Yeah, we got a freezer here we put them in, so don't worry, they last.
Cryogenic email questions.
That's right.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week for our 200th episode. Thanks a lot for listening, and enjoy your postseason. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.